Tonight we're talking about raising the bar. Listen, I'm going to push you. I'm going to push myself. You know, we've been doing Shift for 5 years now, and it's been awesome. It's been great. It's been wonderful. This past year, I couldn't have had a better year. I think that last year, as far as the ministry was concerned with Shift, you know, the world had its own stuff. People had their own stuff. There was a lot of things that happened in people's lives. I'm not discounting that at all. But man, for Shift, we had a great year. A lot of stuff happened. You know, we had our 80s night. People showed up. People dressed up. We had a great time. We had our birthday celebration, our largest church service in Shift for that year. I mean, some incredible things happened. We had over 217 salvations last year in the young adults ministry. I mean, we can give the Lord a hand for that, can't we? Hallelujah. People are getting SPT'd. There's small groups going on. Lots of stuff happening. Some beach trips. We did a lot of good stuff last year. But you know what? I'm not content to just stay status quo. I'm not content to leave everything alone and say, God, we're good enough. We got people showing up. The youth auditorium doesn't feel that empty. We're raising the bar. See, every year in New York City, the first thing that the world does to start the year out is they drop the ball, right? Now, I always thought that dropping the ball was a bad thing. If you dropped the ball, that meant that something was wrong. That meant that you failed. So in the church, let's not start the year off by dropping the ball. Let's not start the year off by failing. Let's not start the year off by following what the world is doing. Let's start our year off by following God. Let's start the year off by succeeding in our endeavors. Let's start the year off in faith, believing God that He's going to do something greater, that God is going to do something more, that God is pressing us on, pressing us further. See, in years past, I preached one message, given some vision for the year, and man, we just went right into it. This year's different. This year, we are going to come into this month, and we're going to learn, we're going to go through some things together, and we're going to understand what it means to raise the bar. Tonight, we're going to take a look at a couple of things in order to prepare for this year and raise the bar, what we need to do. A couple of things we're going to look at. And so tonight, as you hear these things, God's going to be depositing some things on the inside of you. On what you need to do, examining yourself and looking at some things that are going on, examining God and who He is, and how we together can have a great year, how we together can have a great ministry, how we together can go onward and upward to the call of our God. God has something for you. God is the one that placed the times and the seasons in motion. God is the one that set years. God is the one that set day and night. God's the one that put the seasons together. And so this is an opportune time for us to take inventory, to take stock, to take a look around us and to see what's going on and to say, you know what, God, I don't want to start the year out and drop the ball. God, I want to mark this year, 2009. This year's going to be different than any other year. This year, I'm going to be a better Christian. This year, I'm going forward. This year, I want to see people saved in my sphere of influence. This year, I want to learn more about God than I ever knew before. This year, I want to experience the things of the Spirit of God. I want to see healings when I pray for people. I want to see miracles done. When I pray for somebody, I want to see results. Because God and me are hooking up together and we're doing stuff. We're just going for it. Anybody other than Pastor Dan want to see that happen in their life? Praise God. Praise God. So tonight, we're going to take a look at some things quickly in order to prepare for this year. And raise the bar, what we need to do. Number one is we need to take an honest look with God at ourselves. You know, when I take an honest look at myself, I see a lot of deficiencies. You know, if you ever take a mirror and you hold it up in front of somebody's face and you ask them, what do you see? First thing they're going to see is their failures. They're going to see, you know, maybe pimples. Maybe they're going to see ugly. Maybe they're going to see, you know, bedhead. They're going to see a lot of stuff. Some people see fat. Some people see thin. Some people see, you know, skin color. Lots of people see a lot of different things. But you know what? When we take an honest look with God at ourselves, we see what's real. Because God doesn't speak any falsehood. God doesn't speak any lies. God doesn't see fat, skinny, color of skin, any of that stuff. God doesn't see pimples. God doesn't see any of that. God sees you as you are. And so with God, when we look at ourselves and we say, God, what is it that you see? God, what is it? Where am I at right now? 2008 is done. Here I am in 2009. And God, show me the starting point. You know, you're not going to run a race if you don't know where to start. You're not going to go somewhere if you don't have a beginning point. And a lot of times we just flow through life and we let the currents take us wherever they're going. But with God, we can say, God, in reality, I need to find out what's going on in my life. Let's identify some things, God. Let's open some things up. You know, I like this past year, I finally got a journal. And I started using it from time to time. I'll write things down, prayer requests and, you know, different things that God speaks to me about. And there have been some journal entries in this past year. And I don't do it every night. I'm not one of those guys that's like, you know, hardcore journal guy. Like, you have to go get one and do this. Because it didn't work for me for years. I just started disciplining myself and doing it little by little. But as I look back and I look at some things, there have been some times where I've written down some things that have been hard to write down. There's been some times where I've had to take an honest inventory of myself and say, God, here I am. I'm a mess, God. What is it that you see? Identify me. Where am I at? You know, some of these things I would even share with my wife, and she'd be looking at me like I'm crazy. You know, she's like, wait. You know, that's not that big of a deal. But to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, God spoke this to me, honey. And she's like, that's great. Yeah, thanks. She's like, no, it's good. It's cool, you know. But see, with God, God is the one that gives us a real picture of where we're at. Even though on the outside it may not look like that big of a deal, or to someone else it doesn't seem like that big of a thing, to us, when God speaks it, man, it's alive, it's powerful, it's real. You know, King David was talking about this in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, chapter 139 of Psalms, if you want to turn there with me. We're raising the bar, so start bringing your Bibles if you haven't been bringing your Bibles. Psalm 139, last two verses in Psalm 139 say this: Search me, O God, and know my heart. Who else can know the heart like God? So King David says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. He says, Test me out, God. Put me up to your litmus paper. Come on, check it out. See what you find. He says, And know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. So he says, God, if there's anything that's contrary to your ways, God, reveal it. Show it to me. See what's going on in my heart, God. And look at the very last sentence. And lead me in the way everlasting. See, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. We can have a lot of plans. We can have a lot of things going on. We can say we're going to go do this. We're going to go do that. 2009 is going to be this type of a year. You know, I'm turning this age and now I can do these things. And we can make a lot of plans. Well, let me tell you something. Being a pastor, I found out that plans a lot of times in people's lives get cut short. This coming week, I'm doing a funeral for a 51-year-old. That's not old, you guys. See, as we look at a year, we shouldn't just look at our own personal goals, our own personal things. Well, this year I'm going to get in shape. This year I'm going to get fit. This year I'm going to make money. This year I'm going to travel. This year I'm going to go to school. This year, all that stuff's great. But guess what? When you get alone with God and you pray a prayer of devotion, you pray a prayer of commitment, you pray a prayer where you say, God, open me up and show me what's going on inside. Lord, shine your light around. See what's in those dark corners in there, God. Open me up. God, if there's any wicked way, reveal it. Show me what's inside of me that's contrary to your ways, God, and lead me in your way. God will do it. God will speak to you. God will lead you. God will direct you. God will guide you. He'll take you and he'll say, Child, listen, this is what's going on, and this is the way that I want you to go. This is what's happening. See, that's why I know this whole month that we're talking about this is because I got alone with God. I said, God, what do you want to do in 2009? He says, I want you to raise the bar. I want you to encourage them. I want you to bring them along and lead them. Show them how to do this in their own personal lives. And the first thing we got to do is we got to find the starting point. And that starts with you and God getting together, getting alone, getting quiet, saying, God, open me up. And if you don't know how to pray, just pray that prayer right there. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God put it there in the Word so that you could pray it to Him. So that you could believe Him for it. So you could see what you find. Number one thing, in order to prepare for this year and raise the bar, you need to take an honest look with God at ourselves. Second thing you need to do is to fix your eyes on the goal. See, when God shows you something, you need to fix your eyes. And say, God, if that's where we're headed, God, that's where I'm going. And set your focus. Set your gaze. You could say take an honest look at God with God, because the goal is always Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end, like we've been talking about the past couple weeks. Jesus is always our aim, always our focus, always our goal. God's going to show you where you're at, and then he's going to lift up your eyes to Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, here is your goal. He's going to say, here's your aim. Here's your focus. Here's the perfect man. And here's where you're at. Living in flesh. Still got the sin nature on the inside of you, but you're a saint. And this is what you're to look like. My son, Jesus Christ. This is your focus. This is who you are growing up into. This is where we're going. See, God says that we're being perfected. What does that mean? Does that mean that eventually we're going to become perfect? Not while we're on earth, no. Because we still live in these earth suits. But the difference is that we're being renewed day by day. Our mind is being renewed. We're being transformed. We're changing. Our heart is turning. Our heart is becoming more like his heart. And therefore, when the heart changes, now all of a sudden the actions start to change. You don't do the things that you used to do. You don't mess up the ways that you used to mess up. You don't get dirty the way you used to get dirty. Now you're walking in new understanding, new levels. You're growing. You're understanding new things. And so we fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Very familiar verses. But it's good for us to remind ourselves of these verses. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, the Bible tells us that we are to set our attention to heaven. Jesus is set down at the right hand of God, and therefore we are to set our gaze on him, set our heart and our mind to heaven, on things above, Colossians chapter 3 says. And when we do that, when we set our heart, when we set our gaze, when we set our focus, now all of a sudden, our year lines up. Our priorities are placed for us. We understand that, hey, here's where I'm at, but there's where God's at, and this is how we're going to get there. I'm moving forward with God. I'm moving onward with God. I'm moving upward with God. 2009 is going to be a great year. Yeah, there's going to be hardships. Yeah, there's going to be times of trouble. There's going to be trials that come our way. There's going to be pressures. But that's all part of living here on earth. It's all part of the job, I guess you could say. When you are a Christian, you know how to go through those things. Why? Because you're looking at something. You're looking up to heaven. You're not looking at the road. You're not looking at the thorns in the road. You're not looking at the pitfalls, all that kind of stuff, because you've got your gaze set. You're watching him. You're waiting for him. Bible tells us to look to him. Bible tells us to consider him, to meditate and to ponder on him, to have your mind constantly on Jesus Christ. You know, there was an actor who played Tarzan in the old movies, and he was teaching some acting students. And he was giving them some advice, and this is what he told them. He said, don't let go of the vine. Now, you understand Tarzan, you know, he was out there in the jungle swinging on vines. And so for an acting student, he said, don't let go of the vine. What does that mean? That means always have your attention set on what it is that you're doing at that moment. You be right there, you be in that place, and don't forget what's important. Don't let go of the vine. In the same way as Christians, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And so for us, if we are going to have a great year, if we're going to have a year where we raise the bar, we can't let go of the vine. Each and every one of us as Christians, we've got to stay focused. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on the goal. So in order to prepare for this year and raise the bar, number one, we need to take an honest look with God at ourselves. Number two, we need to fix our eyes on the goal. And then finally, number three is go in God's direction. See, it's one thing to take a look at yourself with God, find out about something. It's another thing to look at Jesus. Because if you stop right there and you do nothing, what's it worth? The Bible says faith without works is dead. A couple of you guys know that verse. Faith without works is dead. Therefore, it'd be one thing for us to come into the church tonight, sing songs, praise God, have fun, hear a great message, and if you walk out of this place tonight and you never go in the direction that God has called you to, what good is that doing you? Nothing. See, there's a lot of empty seats in here tonight. And the reason why I'm pointing that out to you is because there's a lot of people who have come to church, heard great messages, said amen, praise the Lord, come to me after church, said, Pastor Dan, that was the best message I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm thinking, man, you're 19. How many messages have you heard? Just kidding. Give me pats on the back. Tell me, man, you're going to see me next week. Man, I am here. Anything you need. Some of them even offer to preach. They're so excited. And then they walk out of those doors and I never see them again. See, what good is that? It's dead. That's dead faith. Faith without works is dead. It's idle words. And we can look back at 2008, we can look back at 2007, we can look back at our lives, at the things which we've seen, the things which we've heard, the things which we understand from the things of God, and we can say, there it is. But what have we done with those things? I'm not trying to discourage you tonight. I'm trying to encourage you, build you up, and tell you, we can do this. When you get a picture of where you're at, when God speaks to you and says, child, this is who you are. This is what you're doing. God's not going to point out the negative things in your life. God doesn't call you rank sinner and put you down and smack you with a 2x4. That's not God. God may correct you from time to time, yes, because a father who loves their son disciplines them. But when God looks at you and when you say, God, who am I? What am I doing? Where am I going? God says, listen, this is who you are. You are a saint of the Almighty God. You are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You can do it. Get up. Believe me for it. Find it in my word. Pray for it. Come on. Get up, child. We can do this. Let's move forward. And then when you fix your attention on Jesus, Jesus doesn't just sit there chilling in heaven doing nothing. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. What does that mean? That means that anytime you're falling down, anytime the devil's coming against you, anytime something's going on in your life, Jesus takes that seated position and he stands up on your behalf and he says, Father, I pray for them. Do you know that you can find Jesus praying for you in the Bible? John chapter 17. It's in there. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. He is our high priest. And when you fix your attention on him, you won't see a stone image. You won't see this stoic Jesus. No, you're going to see the living and active Word of God moving, piercing, dividing, going forward, accomplishing the purpose that he was sent forth to do, the Bible says. And then, when you start going in God's direction, when you do something about it, man, God will take you places you never thought you'd be. God will just blow your mind. You know, for years, I thought I was saved. I thought I was a Christian because I was raised in church. I was doing things in church. At age 15, I was leading praise and worship with my guitar in my high school youth group, telling other people how bad of sinner they were, and I wasn't saved. Finally got a hold of the Word of God, finally understood what I needed to do, gave my heart and life to Jesus. And I tell you what, anything God told me to do, I just kind of was like, all right, cool, let's do it, you know? God has taken me around the world. God's taken me across the country twice. God has used me in ways that I never thought I would be used. You know, I never thought that I would be doing this. I had rock star dreams. I always thought I was going to play guitar for some Christian rock and roll band and do that thing, do the traveling thing and be famous and all that kind of stuff. And that was prideful. That was in my head, yes. But man, I put that on the altar. I said, God, whatever you want me to do. And you know something? I've had people come and tell me, and this is not to elevate me, this is to elevate God and his plan and what he can do in your life. Because if he can do it for me, God is no respecter of persons. He can do it for you. But somebody came up to me one time and they said, let me tell you something. I'm a missionary. I have friends that are ministers to the not the underground church in China, but the government-approved church in China. And they were showing some of these Chinese youth some messages and some different things like that, telling them they need to get saved. And they said, oh, we can't get saved. We're not old enough yet. You know, I said, well, how old are you? How old do you have to be to get saved? And they said, well, you know, older than we are right now. We don't understand yet. And they said, wait a second. You don't think that you can be saved at your age? And they said, no. They said, hold on one second. Went to the internet, called up a sermon with me on it, preaching here at The Rock. And they said, this guy's like 26 years old at the time I was. And they said, this guy's like 26 years old. He's preaching the gospel. You don't think you can get saved? He's preaching. They looked at it and they said, wow, I guess if he can do it, we can get saved too. Gave their hearts to the Lord. How bizarre is that? I didn't do that. All I did was said, all right, I'll preach. Okay, God, let's go do it. And God takes it and uses it around the planet to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. What can God do with you? Where's God taking you? Where's God leading you? 2009, take a look and don't just dream a little dream. Don't just dream a pea-sized little, here we go, this is what we got for 2009. Whew. You know, if you're believing God for a job, don't believe God for just any job. Believe God for the job that has the benefits. Believe God for the job that has really good pay. Believe God for the job that you're going to be able to advance in. Believe God for the job that's going to give you the hours that you want so that you can still come to church and volunteer. Come on, somebody. If you're believing God for an automobile, don't just believe God for some clunker. Come on. God is not into clunkers. God will raise that thing from the dead, but you know what? Come on, believe God for something nice. Believe God for the car that you think is cool. Say, God, I think this is a cool car. God will blow you away with what he does. You believe in God for a relationship? Don't believe God for just the pretty or the handsome one. Believe God for somebody with a heart. I mean, come on, go for broke with God. When you pray and when you ask for something, go all out. Say, God, I mean, what have you got to lose? All God can say is no. Am I right? And thank God he doesn't hear our stupid prayers. You know what I'm saying by that? Because we could go and we could ask God and you could get insecure about what you ask God for. But you know what? The Bible says God doesn't hear prayers that aren't according to his will. Right? He only hears the prayers that are according to his will. So if it's not according to his will and you're praying for it, he doesn't hear you. You don't get it. Oh, well. So pray for something that's in God's will. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to have a future. God wants you to be strengthened. Man, if you're feeling sick in your body, don't just pray, oh, Lord, I pray I get better someday. No, God, I want to be healed now. Lord, you said, lay your hands on the sick and they'll be healed. So here's my hand. I'm laying it on the sick. Be healed and believe God for it. I mean, come on. Let's not just believe God for a couple more people coming into church. Let's believe God to pack this place out every Friday night. Let's believe God that we're going to reach people for Jesus. Let's get into a supernatural faith with our supernatural God who can create a planet just by speaking it into existence. Do you think he can't speak to people's hearts? Each and every one of you have friends, coworkers, neighbors, relatives that need Jesus Christ. We pass by people all the time. You know, I work at a church. It's hard for me to, you know, really get into relationship with a lot of people outside of the church. But you know what? I still am believing God that the gas attendant there at the Costco gas station is going to get saved someday. I believe in God that the woman at Albertsons that I pass by all the time is going to get saved. That all the young adults at Trader Joe's that I pass by all the time are going to get saved. Let's believe God for a supernatural, miraculous year this year. Let's focus. Let's go in God's direction. Whatever he tells you to do, wherever he tells you to go. If God tells you to sow, sow, because you're going to reap. God tells you to stay, stay. Whatever it is God tells you to do, go in his direction. I'm going to close with this tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 16 in the Message Bible says, I'm not saying that I have this all together. And that's my words to you tonight. I know Paul penned this. Eugene Peterson paraphrased it, but I'm saying this to you tonight. I'm not saying that I have all this all together, that I've made it, but I'm well on my way. Reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear up your blurred vision. Amen. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. This year, 2009, we're raising the bar. We're not just mediocre. We're not staying the same. We're not going to get stagnant because stagnant water goes bad. We're going on with God. We're moving forward. We're doing something. If you got something out of tonight, come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.